Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 157 on March 15th, 2017. If you think my work is the bee's knees and you want to help me spread that information about pegging worldwide to everyone who's interested, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on the right side of my website. That's Patreon, patreon.com/rubyrider. Alrighty, let's jump into the mail, everybody. Jump into that mailbag. That's sounding kind of good, actually. Here's the first one. Can you recommend a good harness for my wife? She is a BBW, around size 26. We're finding it hard to find one and a good dildo. We need an extra long one because of the extra skin, but not so big in diameter, and a double-headed dildo. Thanks so much. Okay, so first thing is, size 26, according to a size chart I found on the internet, has a hip size of 56 inches. So that is the measurement that we need to work with to get your wife a nice harness. And actually, the answer to this is really pretty easy because I recommend all the time the Aslan Minx harness. It's a leather harness for big, beautiful women. And the reason I do is because not only is it gorgeous for any woman of any size, but it's got that corset back with bigger pieces of leather, so it provides a little bit more stability. And you know, that harness fits up to 60-inch hips, so I think it should be fine for your wife. I really do. Take measurements, because what I am going off of is the size chart. So have her measure her hips and know that that harness will fit up to 60-inch hips, so it probably should do the job. And she's got all kinds of color choices with that. The Aslan Minx harness comes in red, black, Nicki Minaj pink, and Prince purple. And it also comes with a double-up cuff, which is a little piece of leather that slides on those bottom two straps that can hold in a butt plug or another dildo in her vagina. You can do all kinds of things with that fun little piece of leather. You'll see when you get it. The Minx is the only Aslan leather harness that comes with that double-up cuff. The other two strap harnesses that Aslan sells can use the double-up, but you have to buy it separately. So it's a way cool little bonus that you get when you buy the top-of-the-line Cadillac harness, which is the Minx. I'll put a link for that in the Linkorama. So, for the dildo, the perfect dildo for you would be the Tantus Sport Long. The thing about the Tantus Sport Long is that we have news that it's going to be discontinued. So, we do know that one of our distributors has like seven of the purple ones. So if you wanted to order through Entice Me and support my work, you can certainly get one of those if you jump on it. And other than that, we're actually doing some research to try and find a replacement, because there's not very many companies out there, unfortunately, that make a dildo that is fairly thin, like an inch and a quarter, but also fairly long. And it's essential for people who have big, beautiful bodies. You really need that, because otherwise the amount of penetration just is insufficient. So Tantus Sport Long, and we're looking into other possibilities, and I'll put the link for that on the Linkorama. So let's talk a little bit about how you wanted to find a double as well. There is no double out there that fits the criteria of really long and thinner, so the double is going to be something you have to work up to, but the Fuse Tango actually has an insertable length of 6.5 inches, so you're going to be losing an inch in comparison to the Sport. And it might be a little bit more difficult to have a wide range of positions. The other thing that I might recommend is playing with the harness a little bit so that, as opposed to it fitting down right below the pubic bone in her clitoral area, like it should to be a proper fit. One of the things that helps with BBWs is if you take the harness and cheat it up a little bit so that it's higher up and kind of on top of where your pubic bone would be, you probably won't, because of the extra flesh there, get a bruised pubic bone if you do this. People who are really slender and the bones are right there, they're the ones that cannot do this with a harness. But What ends up happening is if you take that harness and put it over your belly a little bit and cheat it up a little bit, that can help with penetration. So you can even try that with the sport if you want to. Now, that's not going to work with the double, but it will work with a single. So those are all the tricks that I know that help. Try them and see what you think. And I'll put the link to the Fuse Tango in the Linkorama as well. Oh, and I almost forgot. If you decide to get that Fuse Tango, keep in mind that it goes hand in hand with the Bullet Vibe that fits the best and is the strongest, which happens to have the same name of Tango, but it's made by the We Vibe company. I'll put those links in the Linkorama as well. Those two definitely go hand in hand and make a fabulous toy. Have fun, and if this is your first time, please let us know when it happens so I can play the music for you. And another email. Hello, Ruby. First of all, I am new to your podcast and website and love them both. I heard the podcast, I'm not sure which number it was, where the wife's husband turned gay after she pegged him. It was a sad story, and I feel for her. However, I can say in my experience, I am quite the opposite. Here's a little backstory to get started. I first began to play with my ass at a pretty young age, about 13. Almost about the same time I began to masturbate, I went from using my older neighbor's Playboy magazines for material to the wide world of the internet. One website would pop up, another and another, and so on. I would start by watching heterosexual porn, and then all of a sudden gay porn would pop up. I would exit out, and sure enough, another one would pop up. I decided to just look and see what it was about. I admit, I was turned on and curious about what it would feel like to have your ass played with or fucked. I used lotion and a finger until I wanted something else. I took my older brother's ID card, since we look alike, and drove myself to an adult toy store almost immediately after getting my license at 16. I was, of course, carded as soon as I walked in, since I looked like a kid, but it worked, and they let me shop. I ended up purchasing a penis-shaped butt plug. I raced home before anyone else came home that day and locked myself in my room. I loved the sensation it gave me and the orgasm I had from it. Mind you, to this day, I still do not consider myself gay or bi. I say I'm trisexual, and he spells that T-R-Y. I wanted to see what the real thing was like, so I went on AOL chat room. I know I'm dating myself a bit here, and met a guy local to me. I was 18 now and was scared to death of meeting someone online. He agreed to meet me at a public parking lot where I then followed him to a motel. The deal was he would top me if I topped him first. So I did, but this was my first intercourse ever, either with a male or female, and my very first male-on-male encounter. I came pretty quickly, as you could imagine, and lost all desire to continue, so I left. I then met another man closer to where I lived. Both of my first male encounters were quite older than me, closer to 40, and I was 18. This time, I was purely a bottom and was hooked. He became a regular fuck buddy. I finally had intercourse with a female right before I turned 20, and also loved it. I had done just about everything with a girl prior to this, but not sex. I have only dated or even kissed women. I considered myself straight, but liked gay sex from time to time, and this continued into my early 30s, until I got serious with a girl. During sex one night, she was grabbing my ass and thrusting me into her. Her fingers got pretty close to my fun zone, and I paused when she did. She asked what was wrong, and I then told her to get closer and closer until she had a finger in my ass. She was shocked how quickly and forcefully I came. This led to future ass play and times where there was no intercourse, but just her fingering my ass and me masturbating. I brought up toys, and she went for some finger attachment thing we both didn't really care for too much. I asked her if I could get a toy we would both get enjoyment out of, and she agreed. One night during sex, I mentioned that the toy I previously mentioned and we agreed on came in the mail. She told me to take it out and show her. I unveiled the Fun Factory Share to her. Her eyes got big and said, "Isn't that too big?" I have never told her about my years of anal play and gay sexual encounters, but I knew I was up to the task. She inserted her end in herself, and we got into the missionary position. It was amazing. She already had her orgasm before I brought the toy out. I typically take a long time to come, so she was open to doing this because she knew it would make me come. However, while she was fucking me with the share, she started moaning louder than usual. She told me she was going to come, so I did as well, and we came together. It definitely was the most intimate time we have shared together. I am trying to get her into a traditional strap-on with a harness. However, she is not too into harnesses. I would love to get a velvet nest harness for her, but I have read so many bad reviews, and they never emailed me back anyway. Back to the original topic on pegging turning someone gay. For me, it had the opposite effect. Since my woman has begun to play with my ass and peg me from time to time, I no longer seek out gay sexual encounters. I may get the itch from time to time, but I don't pursue it. The woman I love fucking me in the ass is by far the absolute hottest thing I have ever had sexually. And I have had sex with men, women, transsexuals, two men at a time, two women at a time, and even male and female couples in both bisexual and straight settings. I have definitely explored my sexuality through the years. And in my experience and opinion, my woman fucking me in the ass tops them all. Thank you for listening. And he signs it, Trisexual SoCal. And he spells trisexual T-R-Y. Since clearly the meaning behind that is that you have tried everything. This is an awesome story. Thank you so much for sending it in. What a fascinating path you have traveled with your sexuality. I'm happy to have you represent the opposite from that very sad podcast. I do remember that, where her husband decided he was gay. And that is such an anomaly. And at the same time, your story is very much of an anomaly as well. How excellent to have found something that tops everything else. I mean, we've all heard stories from all kinds of people about what they've done sexually. And every once in a while, you hear somebody who is married and seems happy in their marriage say something along the lines of, well, yeah, but the hottest sex I ever had, man, was with so-and-so, and it's not with their partner. And there are lots of compromises and reasons that we stay in relationships that have never had that hottest sexual experience. Perhaps it was the environment of the experience. Perhaps it was the actual component of it being a stranger or something like that, that you cannot duplicate in a relationship. But when both of them come in the same package, it's fucking awesome. Good for you. And if I may, a suggestion on the harness. There are different styles of harnesses. So one of the things that you might want to consider is checking out the spare parts Sasha or Bella, because those are not like regular harnesses. I know that some women really don't like all the straps and they don't like the leather because it's kind of hardcore, but those two harnesses by Spare Parts, and I'll put the links in the Linkorama, are like panty style, and they're really sexy and feminine. They have garter attachments, so she might enjoy those as opposed to any kind of a harness with straps type of an affair. And I know what you mean about the velvet nest. There's a lot of people that would love to have velvet nest harnesses, but velvet nest cannot apparently keep their company together. So there you have it. It's so unfortunate. I don't like to encourage people to copy things, but wouldn't it be nice if someone just took that type of harness and duplicated it for the most part with a few changes here and there and started actually manufacturing it? That would be really nice, because goodness, they cannot run a company. My. So check out the spare parts harnesses, the Sasha and the Bella. And keep having fun, you two. Thanks so much for writing in, Trisexual SoCal. And here's another email. Hi, Ruby. I have so much to say, but I will try to keep from running on too long. I'm so glad to have discovered your podcast. There are other people out there like me. I've only listened to a few episodes so far, but I'm very eager to plow through more when I get the chance. So a little about us. My wife and I recently married, but we've been together for over 13 years. Our sex life has always been good. In the beginning, on occasion, she would indulge me with a finger up the butt. After some time, we bought toys, and every once in a while she would use them on me for some handheld ass play. Then a few years back, we took a trip to a toy shop as an anniversary present to ourselves. We picked out some DVDs and a few new toys. Right before we were about to leave, playing it off like a gag, I suggested we get a strap-on. We then talked a little more seriously about it. I tried to play cool, as though this was a new thought just occurred to me, but I had secretly wanted to do this for years. We ended up getting the strap-on, but after a failed attempt, it was buried in the back of the closet. Over the years, I've periodically suggested trying it again in a joking way, but never quite pushing hard enough to make it a reality. I was pretty embarrassed by this desire. I would occasionally break it out when I was home alone, but that wasn't quite the itch I was trying to scratch. So, a few months before our wedding, I swallowed my pride and point-blank asked for it. She said, okay, with slight hesitation and a bit of, well, it's your asshole, tone in her voice. I think her concern was mostly because I didn't handle it so well the first time. Pegging is not her thing, but man, is she a good sport. She put on her leather corset and wore her hair out in a big natural afro. She even brought out a whip from an old Halloween costume. When I saw her walking towards me with that big swinging dick, my heart skipped. Standing before me was a powerful Nubian goddess. I could barely contain myself. There was some awkwardness in getting it to work at first, especially because she blindfolded and handcuffed me. Not that I'm complaining, but we both had smiles on. Even though we didn't know what we were doing, it was awesome. She took me from behind while I was on all fours. Gentle at first, but pretty soon I could feel her thigh slapping against my ass. I loved feeling her huge tits resting on my back as she reached around me to give my cock a tug. I've never experienced that kind of vulnerability. It was a complex feeling. I'm still processing it months later. Unfortunately, we ran out of time before we could finish. I had to run to the toilet mid-session, and then she had a meeting to get to. Things were busy with work and wedding planning, so it was weeks before we could get back to where we left off. But it felt like an eternity. I couldn't stop thinking about it. The longest foreplay I've ever had. But we eventually got a free moment to get back to business. This time, wearing white silky lingerie, she looked like an angel. We tried some new positions, and I finished by riding her cowboy style while she jerked me off. I walked around with a huge sense of pride for being able to take a dick like a champ. I also walked around with a huge boner. Every time I thought about it, which was often, I would pop a tent in my pants like I was back in middle school. I didn't have any reservations about our engagement before, but with her willing to do that for me, it gave me one more reason to walk down the aisle. To find a community of people like me through your podcast has taken some of my shame out of pegging. I still haven't admitted to my wife how much I enjoy this and that I would like to do it more, but we are off to a great start. Even though I don't think it's really her thing, I give her big props for being a team player. So I'm writing to thank you. Your podcast is helping to normalize this for me, as well as educational. I would love to hear any feedback you have about my experience. But aside from wanting to hear that music, I also have a few questions for you on a related topic. The dildo we used was purchased a few years ago and is not in very good shape. It doesn't have a lot of use, but even still, the material is breaking down. I've heard you complain about the amount of poor quality toys out there. I must have bought one of those, an impulse buy at a chain store. I'm currently looking for a replacement. Thank you for the helpful links on your website. But as a sculptor and mold maker, I'm looking at these toys and thinking that they are well within my skill set to make myself. My first thought was to make my own custom toy, but now I'm thinking bigger. Why not make my playthings available to everyone? I want to create my own unique line of quality non-toxic toys. I take pride in my work, and I want to make an artfully designed product that I can stand behind or in front of. I have some ideas, niche markets, that I think might have a demand, but I'm wondering if you have any advice for the little guy interested in breaking into a big market. You have your finger on the pulse. What unfulfilled needs do you see that might be worth pursuing? What products would you like to see out there? What are some of the pitfalls? What makes a bad toy? I'm not limiting myself to strap-ons. I'll go wherever there's a good idea, but I'm sure strap-ons will be involved. Thanks for everything. Sincerely, the Sinful Sculptor. Well, first of all, it was a pleasure to play the music for you, and I really enjoyed getting this letter. You know, even though you two are already doing the pegging, and it sounds like you're having a lovely time, and by now you're probably married. I'm not sure if you're married yet or not. I would suggest having her listen to podcast number 112. Because what that podcast does is it puts all of those subjects that you might feel shame about and or subjects that she might be worried about or concerned that have any connection with pegging and lays them all out there so you guys can talk about it. Otherwise, each subject is difficult to broach. For example, if she's thinking, well, the only thing I've ever seen with pegging porn is the guy tied up and getting beaten and humiliated and degraded. So does he want to be humiliated? Then she has to work up the courage to ask you. And sometimes that can be a scary thing, especially if you're kind of invested in receiving a specific answer in a certain direction. Or another example is you wanting her to potentially be a little bit more dominant and having fear about bringing that up because you're not sure if it's something that she would enjoy. So all of those lesser subjects that are attached to the whole pegging concept are brought up with that podcast. And as well, the coolest thing about it is that it just really, really, really helps with the shame. I mean, I go on and on about podcast number 112, just about every podcast I do now. But part of the reason is because I keep getting these letters from all these people saying, that podcast was perfect. You know, you nailed it. It's just right because it really emphasizes the relationship. It emphasizes, above all, no matter what you decide to do, that the relationship is really, really important. And the fact that your partner allowed you to know this about them means that they are sharing a deeper part of themselves with you. So you kind of get the point. But listen to it yourself. I always tell everyone this. Listen to the podcast yourself first and then see if it's something you think is appropriate for her. It might kind of help you guys finesse it. It sounds like she's game. She's awesome. She's GGG, as Dan Savage would say, good giving in game. But she's a little puzzled and sort of not quite into it, but willing to do it for you. Well, it's possible once you guys do a little fine tuning, she may find a part of it that she's really into. So that would be my suggestion for you two. Congratulations on your recent wedding. Big congratulations to both of you. Sounds like you're having lots of fun. And as far as you making custom non-toxic toys and starting a business with that, that's not something I'm going to put on the podcast, but what I'm going to do is write you an email back. And we could probably have a phone conversation about that or something along those lines because, you know, we're always looking for new companies that are making good things. And yes, I am aware of a few holes in the market. There's no pun there anywhere, even though one briefly tried to make itself happen in my head, but that's the way my mind works sometimes. So I'm going to send you that email because wouldn't it just be the coolest thing ever if a unique quality line of non-toxic toys, artfully designed, got their start with a letter to Pegging Paradise. That would be amazing. Mostly the information I'm going to have to give you has to do with pegging toys because that's what I know the most about. But yes, I'd be happy to talk with you. So I'll send you that email and you, the sinful sculptor, will hopefully have a business that we can be selling through Entice Me. Thanks for your letter. Okay, here is another email. I'm a longtime fan of your work, and your website was so helpful to me when I first started pegging about 10 years ago, but I've only realized in the past 3 months or so that you had a podcast as well. The information you share is fantastic, and whenever other women or men approach me with a new interest in pegging, I always direct them to you. It occurred to me when I was listening to your various podcasts that there is not one dedicated to newbie peggers, or at least not one that I found that was as easily located as the infamous podcast number 112. I know that you have great information sprinkled throughout all of your podcasts about safety, cleanup, toys, harnesses, common mishaps, lubes, etc., but it's not one located in one area. Specifically, I think it would be helpful to have a podcast either within the Pegging 101 podcast I describe or a separate one for ladies that are already interested in pegging and may even have a partner that is willing to go over the basics for them. I listened to podcast number 112 and the information is great for someone new to the whole idea of pegging, but what about ladies and gentlemen who know they want to try it but just need information on what to do? I hope you'll take this idea into consideration. I would love to be able to tell the guys and girls that come to me about pegging, go to Ruby's website and listen to podcast number XXX. That's a fabulous idea. I think the reason that I have had back off on doing that in the past is that, knowledge is worth something, is what everybody talks about once you've gotten yourself to a point where you are an expert. However, whereas before, my attitude towards sharing knowledge was a difficult balance between giving just enough, but then saying, okay, if you want more, you need to pay me, which never felt good. And I never really quite knew where to draw the line. And sometimes I wouldn't draw the line and they wouldn't pay me anyway. It was very frustrating. It has evolved from that to what I do with Patreon. And my adventure with Patreon is basically an experiment in trust, because if I put all of my information out there, everything that I would normally be putting in teaching a class and things like that, and have it incredibly well organized on the internet, and have a podcast exactly like you describe what to do once you're to that point where you're ready to go for it. If I put all that out there on the internet free of charge for everybody and anybody, and then ask for your support through Patreon, that is the ticket, I believe, and that is what I am working towards. So actually, the podcast that you suggest has sort of been in the works in the back of my mind, if not on my to-do list. So thank you for pointing that out and giving me a push in that direction, because I do think it would be totally awesome to have another podcast that is as infamous as 112 that actually gives you the details about what to do once you get there. Thank you for writing in, and that is now on my to-do list. Okay, another email. My boyfriend and I have been into ass play and pegging for a while now. He even had a hands-free orgasm last night. I bet you can imagine how sexy that was and how turned on it made me. Anyway, I'm getting off track. I was wondering what you wear while you peg. I think there's something extremely beautiful about pegging when I'm dressed in something sexy while pegging. It's a huge confidence and ego boost when I see the look on his face when I put on something nice. I have a few things I wear when I peg. I have a leather harness I'm in love with, but would like to expand my outfit options. It not only increases my excitability, but his as well. Do you have any suggestions to shops online or in New York? I could start looking. Thanks for your podcast and that love you have for pegging. I've learned so much from you. Oh, sweet. Thank you. I don't know anything about shops in New York. I know about things online. So here's what I like to wear. I like to get a really fancy bra and panties, garter belt, and stockings, and wear that. That's really fun. Sometimes I like to wear a pair of jeans and a man's underwear shirt, I hate that term they have for it, so I'm not even going to use it. It's like that white sleeveless scoop neck man's underwear shirt, braless, right? And that's kind of a statement. I mean, the things that I wear sometimes to dress up are a statement of perhaps dominance, the clothed female, nude male thing, that kind of thing. And I know that when I did the interview with Tiffany, the first time she did pegging, she mentioned how she had on a body stocking, kind of like a net body stocking, that made her feel really pretty and sexy. So there's that. That doesn't interfere really with any of the pegging thing. And it depends on which way you lean. I mean, they have some beautiful leather stuff in the Stockroom, Extreme Restraints, places like that, that are quite sexy to wear. I insist on comfort. So if something's not comfortable, I'm not going to wear it just to look pretty. I'll put those heels on in the beginning, and then as soon as we get going, they're off. In 2 seconds, they are off. It's like, okay, appreciate the high heels, kiss me, and now let's get down to business, and the heels come off. And if you blindfold him, he'll never know, right? Of course, if you blindfold him, you might think that the whole point of having an outfit can be moot. However, you can take that blindfold off at a particular moment, that's very exciting, and put it back on if you want to, and sort of tease that visual side of him. Anyway, thinking about a few more things, that's my favorite thing to wear is bra and panties. Sometimes I wear a corset. Sometimes I wear a lingerie type of top that fits my breasts and then hangs down, but not too far because, you know, if you've got something on that hangs down and you're fucking someone, it gets in the way. Guys know this when they fuck someone. Gotta pull that t-shirt up or take it off. So those are the ideas that I have. I'm sure that there are some fetish type of stores that have all kinds of things to explore. I mean, think about latex. Think about the variety of different leather harnesses. You mentioned that you have a harness that you really like. I think it's fun as well to match the harness and dildo with the color of what you have on. Of course, I have the luxury of doing that because I have so many choices. Picture this, a beautiful lace bra and panties that are black lace, and then you've got a black leather harness with a red dildo. You can accent that with red jewelry, a red bow in your hair, red earrings, or red leather gloves. Okay, so you can see where my mind goes. I love leather gloves. I love them. So those are the suggestions that I have for you. But, you know, a good Google search, you can find a whole bunch of stuff out there. And really pretty quickly, you can tell, usually by price, whether it's quality stuff or not. Let us know how it goes. And if you'd like to take a picture, anonymous or not, and show us what you found, feel free to send it in. Thanks for the letter and all the kind words about my podcast. I am happy to have been a source of education for you. And now it is pegging celebration time. This letter is titled, Finally Did It. Hi, Ruby. I recently found your page on Facebook and wanted to speak with you about my experience. You referred me to your website, peggingparadise.com, where I have been enjoying your podcasts, and I wanted to tell you about my experience, because honestly, I don't have anyone I can talk to about it. A quick little background about myself. At about 9 or 10 years of age, I was introduced into the wonderful world of dry humping by a relative who was about 14 or 15 years old. No molestation. Needless to say, I enjoyed it, and one day, while doing it, I reached back and started to rub my ass, and then my asshole. I still don't know why I did it, but I'm glad I did. Well, this was my method of masturbation until I reached my 20s. I found humping on my bed to be more exciting than stroking myself. I then started to penetrate my ass with my fingers and small toys. I tried dildos, but found I didn't care for the thrusting as much. I found I really enjoyed the sensation of the toy inside me. It gave me a sensation of being full. Over the years, I gave up on the anal penetration because I didn't care for the thrusting, and the butt plugs I had bought all seemed to always fall out, leaving me frustrated. Many, many, many years passed. I started to see and enjoy watching porn movies that showed men being pegged, and it excited me. My passion for anal play was reignited. Enough history. A little over a year ago, I found a woman on the internet that said she gave gentle massages and would do prostate massages. I was very afraid to contact her, but I did so, and we set up a date. She asked me what I wanted, and I set a massage with a prostate massage. She did it, and it was the most sensational experience of my life. I came very hard. Afterwards, I felt a little embarrassed, wondering what she may have thought of me. Maybe that's why it took me 6 months before I saw her again. I went again, and we did the same thing with the same result, hard orgasm. This time, I told her of my desire to be pegged. She said the next time I went, she would do so. I went a third time. She took her time and massaged me and my prostate and then used a vibrating toy on my asshole. Then she tied me down on the massage table, face up, and blindfolded me, and continued to use the toy. I was in ecstasy. She left the toy inside me, and I heard her moving around the room and all sorts of strange sounds. By now, all my pistons were in full throttle. She then took off the blindfold, and there she was standing in front of me wearing a strap-on. I don't know how I didn't come, but I didn't. She then untied my legs and attached them to a device and lifted them straight up. She slid me all the way forward on the table. Then she sat on the table, straddled me, and fingered my ass for a minute or so. I was in full excitement mode. I was vulnerable, but I trusted her. Then it happened. She put the dildo inside of me, and that full feeling was suddenly there again. I gave myself to her fully, and she rode my ass and stroked me to an explosion. I don't normally yell or scream when I come. I held nothing back that day. I've gone to her many times since, and each time it's mind-blowing. We do new stuff every time. Tying down, spanking, nipple play. I have very sensitive nipples. And each time it ends with an explosion for an orgasm. The best thing is she doesn't judge me. She has never humiliated me, and she respects my desires. I only wish I could find a partner to do this with, because it does get expensive, and there's a certain lack of intimacy. She doesn't come or let me play with her pussy, but I understand and accept her rules. I know I've gone on a tangent here, but I've been needing to tell someone about this, and I have no one. It's not a subject men are allowed to freely discuss. Thank you for allowing me to tell my story. I love your podcasts and your website. Please feel free to email me if you have any questions about my experience. Thank you and happy pegging. Wow, lovely story and a very good example of going to a professional. When men are looking for women to peg them, I often suggest that if you're not in the market for a relationship, that it's a really good idea to go to a professional because going to a professional ensures that you don't have to worry about all the other stuff that you would have to worry about if you were in a relationship. And what I mean by that is, if you're in a relationship and you have your partner and you are experimenting with this pegging thing, you're going to have all kinds of concerns about, is she having fun? Is the harness comfortable for her? Does it look the way she wants it to look? Is she going to freak out because it looks realistic? See my point? And if you go to a professional, it's all about you. You don't have to worry about anything. All you have to do is receive and structure that experience exactly the way you want it within her boundaries. So yes, pros are an awesome resource. And I know some time ago, I did a couple of interviews with a guy who went to a pro twice. So if anybody out there is thinking about that, here's another example of sometimes it's a great decision. And yes, there will be that lack of intimacy, but now you know you love pegging. Now you know that. So now you take the other steps of looking for someone in a relationship who is very open-minded sexually, lay your kink cards out on the table really quickly, have her listen to podcast number 112, and see what happens. Kudos to you for getting past your fears and exploring that with someone and experiencing pegging for the first time. I hope your budget can handle it before you find a partner to do that with. Have fun, sir. So, moving on to our last letter, guess what we've got? Another pegging celebration time. This is a message that got sent to me on FetLife. Hello again, Ruby. It has been over 5 years since my husband and I went to your pegging class in Colorado. We have played occasionally, but never really established a routine or got around to including any kind of toys. In the last couple of months, we decided to really make our sexual desires a priority, from rope play, dominance and submission, to pegging. I have even developed a fascination for wielding a crop. After nearly 10 years of marriage, we are now having the best sex of our lives. This weekend, for the very first time, I finally penetrated his ass with my cock. It was awesome. I am so excited to do it again. He was very timid immediately after. I think he was afraid that I didn't enjoy it. I made him feel how wet I was just from the act of pegging, and he had a sudden look of surprise, and then a wide grin crept across his face. We will definitely be doing that again. Thank you again for all that you do to bring couples closer together, Michelle. Oh, congratulations, you two. The way that you described how he was after, I think that happens to a fair number of men because they get there, you do the pegging, they love it, but then all of a sudden they're very concerned about what are you going to think about me now that you've done this to me. I mean, just the last letter that I read, the man who went to a pro was thinking the same thing as well, even though he didn't have an invested relationship with this person. He was engaging with her intimately. So yes, he had the same fear. You described that so well about him being timid afterwards. So I really appreciate what you did, and I've actually done that myself. Because men doubt that I enjoy it, and I just take their fingers and put it inside me and say, just feel how wet I am. Just check that out. Because that will tell you more than anything how much I love doing this and how much it turns me on. So yes, it has been 5 years since I taught that very first class in Denver. And I can't say I remember exactly who you are, but I did see the lovely letter that you wrote me right afterwards. And who knew that it would take this long for you to, in your words, finally penetrate his ass with your cock. I like how you owned it. It's like I finally penetrated his ass with my cock. Not I used the strap on, not, you know, I finally used the toy that we got. It was my cock. I do that too. I feel very proprietary about it. It's mine. So yay, good for you too. Thank you so much for writing in and telling the story. And I was thrilled to play the music for you. And hey, I said it was the last letter, but there's one more for you. So settle back in and listen to this one. Hello, Ms. Ruby. I would like to ask you for some advice. It's about discussing pegging with my girlfriend. First off, I have read all your wonderful advice on your website and listened to a lot of your podcasts, including number 112, but I am in a different situation, maybe one you haven't encountered. I have been pegged before quite a few times, and always by a professional dominatrix, never by a girlfriend. But this happened before my current girlfriend. This is an activity that I enjoy, so much so that I bought my own harness and varying sizes of dildos. For me, I enjoy pegging in two different ways, depending on my mood. One is being more playful, sensual, and gentle. The other is to be dominated, to give up control, and fucked until complete submission. We have been in a monogamous relationship for almost a year and a half, and I would never ever see a dominatrix outside of our relationship. My current girlfriend is very loving and caring, and her sexual interests are very simple. Basically, it's just straight sex. Not exactly sure the best way to approach her and discuss pegging. And I am sure that there will be a few questions that she might bring up that I don't know how to best answer. Hence, asking for your advice. So then he has numbered questions here. So then he has a list of questions that are all numbered. So I'm just going to answer them as I ask them. One, should I approach her that this will be a new experience for me, something that I would like to experiment with her? This would be a lie. No, don't lie to her. Don't do it. What you can do is you can say you have experimented with past partners. You don't need to be specific that it was a dominatrix. You can say it was past partners. Your next question is, if she is all right with experimenting, should I tell her that I already have the harness and dildos that we will need? Your next question is, would using my existing harness and dildos be disrespectful to her? I've run into different schools of thought about this. I tend to be a little bit more allowing about harnesses and dildos because of what I do, but I realize that I'm quite the exception. I spent 4 years as a moderator on the Reddit pegging forum, and while I was there, one of the things I learned is that my attitude towards that is not the way most people think. Unfortunately, most women do think that reusing the same sex toys kind of grosses them out and is on some level disrespectful. Since she is into having pretty much straight sex, I'm going to take a guess and say that you should probably get new equipment just for this reason, because picking out equipment can actually be a fun thing once she wraps her head around the idea and decides she would like to experiment. There are some beautiful harnesses out there. Engaging her in the choice of what equipment that she would like best, that she has a preference for, might be a really important part of this step, and it will make her feel very special. And that's exactly what you want to do, is make her feel special. So as much as it's probably a pain to go through the whole thing of getting new equipment when you have perfectly fine equipment already, I think it would be a really good idea for her to make her feel special and to make her a part of that decision-making process. That podcast I have about the equipment, number 102, it goes through so many different reasons why it's good to pick out things together. You may think she'd look hotter than shit in this beautiful black leather Aslan Jaguar harness, and she might look at that and go, oh my God, that's really hardcore, and really prefer the spare parts Sasha harness because it's pretty, it's sexy, it holds garters. See what I mean? And then there's the whole thing about the dildos. What if you totally get off with a realistic one, but it kind of freaks her out because she's a little straight? So yes, involve her in the process, get new equipment. And let me move on to your next question here, which I just answered. Or should we buy new so that this is something we do together? Absolutely, you should. And then the next question is, do I explain to her my past experiences? I would be careful on that one. I would say that I did this with other partners before, and I really enjoy it. And I would not tell her about the dominatrix part. People have really strong opinions about sex workers, sadly. So your last two questions, one I've already answered. Do I include that I already have a harness and dildo? No, don't do that, because get the new stuff, make her feel special, like we said. And the last question is, should I tell her that I like both ways of being pegged? Yes, definitely do. I mean, at some point in this conversation, 112 is going to be an appropriate thing for her to listen to, and that will bring up that subject of whether you want it to be a beautiful, sensual, loving thing between the two of you, or you really also like to be dominated. I wouldn't throw the domination thing right out there in the beginning. That's something to sort of ease into. But you do kind of have to have the conversation first. And I would suggest that when you have that conversation with her where you're telling her that you really enjoy this type of play, that in that conversation you give her lots of information about how much pleasure there is to be had through prostate stimulation, and that it is very similar to G-spot stimulation in women. Information about the amount of pleasure that you get from it is really good to give her in the beginning, because it sounds like you guys have a lovely relationship, and hopefully she is good giving in game, and she is interested in trying out something new that gives you a large degree of pleasure. So once you get to that point and you have given her the information and told her that this is something that interests you, that's a good time to listen to 112. Because that way you don't have to have every single super scary conversation about all the different concerns she may have. And it's possible she doesn't have any of them, which would be great. And then podcast number 112 will simply be an informational thing for her to listen to. You mentioned earlier in your letter, you're sure there will be a few questions that she might bring up that you don't know how to best answer. That's what 112 is for. It totally is. So we've gone through all of your questions. And then you just close saying, thanks for taking the time to read this email and for any advice you're willing to provide. And you sign it, Crazed Cat. Very nice. So I hope that I've answered all of your questions, and I'm eager to hear what happens when you talk with her. But just think, it's only going to be that first super scary conversation that you have with her. And then everything will start to roll from there. if she initially has a resistance to it, because this is a possibility, because she's really satisfied by fairly normal straight sex, so this might be kind of a big thing to her. If she initially has some resistance, that is also a really good time to ask her to listen to podcast number 112. Another option is to actually listen to it together. And that is a decision you need to make. Definitely, you've heard it yourself first. So if that might be a cozy sort of together thing, have a couple of glasses of wine, or if you drink or something like that, and sit and listen to it, that might be another possibility as well. You mentioned that you had spent some time on my website and checked everything out, as well as listening to that podcast number 112. So I'm hoping or assuming that you have also found the article that I wrote for the men when they are going to talk to their partner about it. And I believe I entitled that Convincing Her to Try It. And I took some flack for that. Convincing, that word put some people off. But nonetheless, I'm going to put a link for that in the Linkorama, because that actually has a number of steps as well that you might be interested in if you have not already read it, because it starts more at the beginning. Because I get what you mean about, okay, we're starting with someone who's just really has the basic sex and really doesn't do a whole lot of other things. Now, you don't mention whether she's into anal play or not in terms of having her ass played with, but I'm guessing she's not, because you just say straight sex. So in that case, that article might be helpful to you if you have not already read it. I'll put a link in the Linkorama. One last piece of advice I have for you, and I'm going to use Dan Savage's words. Do not tell her about this kink like you have leukemia. Try and be confident. Try and be happy and excited. And one of the questions that I thought about her asking you is, why didn't you tell me about this before? And at that point in time, you can kind of, you know, look down and say, well, I was a little bit embarrassed about it because it's my butt, and, you know, but I love this. And you can get excited about it and say, hey, you know, this is something I really love to do, and I would really love to do it with you. That's the whole point. I would really love to do it with you. And, you know, as an aside, one of the things I thought about was, if she's on board for all of this, which would be totally awesome, and you guys decide to go out and get new equipment, what are you going to do with your old stuff? If it were me, what I would probably do is hang on to it, stash it away somewhere where she can't find it, and see how she takes to all of this, because I am well aware of how expensive of an investment it is to get really good quality toys. So I think I might stick it away somewhere, and then later, if she really takes to this, her mind loosens up a little bit, she's totally into it, and you guys talk about getting different dildos, perhaps, a different harness. At that point in time, you might kind of shyly say, well, I actually put some away that I used to have when I asked you. And if she says, well, why didn't you tell me about it? Well, I wanted to honor you, and I wanted this to be special for you, and you deserved your own equipment. So I didn't want to use the same stuff I used with someone else. That's what I would say at that point. Another reason not to throw them away is, ideally, this relationship will last. But if it doesn't, then you still have your toys, sir. There's that. So I wish you the best of luck, sir. Please do let us know how it goes and when I can play that music for you. Because you have been pegged lots and lots of times, which is totally awesome. But she has never done it. So the music applies to her experience as well. And you as a couple, good luck to you. Thanks for writing in. And I'm going to wrap it up there. You could find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. I also have a website, pegging101.com, that has strictly informational pegging articles with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to do that. The Follow tab has cool links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. Remember, if you use the links in the Linkorama to order some of those sexy new toys from enticeme.com, use that coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. I welcome all questions about anything related to pegging. Advice, equipment, experience, revelations, all of it. My listeners are going to learn along with you and delight in your story. So please don't be shy. Throw the questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.